God builds your faith.
That's for sure.
Okay? It's not easy. I'm not standing up here saying Superman. I remember the time my mother got Mercy Flight from Wellsville back in 2016. She almost died. We did not. I mean, we went in and said our goodbyes twice. There was no hope left for her but God. Okay, but God, and it's been a long, many years, and now, just now, you know, God is just starting to work in my mother's life.
Amen.
And now we've had people involved in her life. We've had people try to be involved in her life to love her and pray for her. But I'm just telling you, man, it's been a long battle, but God, okay, but God. And so in these times, just know, Josh, no matter what happens, but God, for the good or bad. And we want the good, right? That's what we pray for. We pray for the good of Josh's mom. And we pray for the strength of those doctors and the wisdom. But we just don't know how things are going to turn out. Bless God, to see her sitting in this church would be absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. And so we thank God for what God is doing, that those doctors had the wisdom enough to fly her where she needed to be. And now they can take care of her. I just wanted to read because, and by the way, Brother Greg, man, I don't know what God has done with your voice, son, but let me just tell you. Man, I could listen to you sing all day. And that's why I said God's done something to your voice, man. He's changed it in the last years that I've been listening to you sing. Not that you guys were ever bad or couldn't play, but you got, man, your voice, brother, is just.
May it be used for him.
Woo! Thank God for it, brother. But look, in the song book, don't have to turn it, but I'm going to go back to that. 63, it says, Fairest Lord, Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I ever cherish, thee will I ever honor, thou, and here's what I want you to hear, my soul's glory, joy, and crown. What did he say? His soul's glory, joy. Most people have this.
Right, yeah.
But their soul is dead. It's empty. But that really struck me because it just shows me that God is trying to get to the soul of that person.
Amen.
And what confirmed that? Well, turn with me to Psalm 103. This isn't my message. This is just something that God has given me. And by the way, it's good to be here. Arlen, it's good to see you as always. The rest of you, I don't know your names, but I'm thankful that you're here. And I'm sure I get the chance to meet you. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. But I want you to see Psalm 103. This is not part of the message. I just thought, man, he's glorying in his soul.
Yes.
Of what Christ has done, deep innermost. That's everything we are. That's what Christ died for, is our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's not worried about the body. The body is the easy thing to resurrect. But it's the soul, that person in that song says, the joy deep down in his soul. And look at Psalm 103, and it says this, bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. And some of that's what's in me. Oh, no. And all that is within me. All that is within me. It's not this fancy outward shouting and joy. And that's all good stuff when the Holy Ghost is moving. But I'm telling you right now, there are times that I'm sitting in my pew and that preacher's going on, or the singing, brother, the singing's going on. I wasn't sitting there yelling and screaming as you and my daughter sung it all, but inside I was rejoicing inside. The tears were flowing and outside of me inside. Why? Because all my soul was rejoicing over what God has done in my life. Listen, my friend, if you're saved here today and you have forgotten about where Jesus Christ has brought you from, there's something wrong with you. Something, look, you're either far away from God or you're trying to live close to God. And nowhere in the Bible does God want you to live close to Him. He wants you to live nigh unto Him.
That's
right. That means nothing in between you and Him. He wants that relationship with us.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Josh, the Bible says, give thanks in all things. For what? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so what's going on with your mother today is the will of God for you. You go, how is he supposed to be thankful in that? Only the super strength of Jesus Christ. It's not going to come by anything you do. It's not going to be something that you work up in your heart or you try to drum up in your mind. It's a willingness to be thankful for all things. That is one of the hardest lessons I've had to learn, Arlen, is when everything has fallen out, God says, Dale, I still need you to be thankful. Why? Because this is my will for your life.
That's right.
It did not take God by surprise of what's going on in Josh's family. Yeah. And whatever's going on in your life, it didn't take God by surprise. We think it took God by surprise. Well, God, you know, that didn't take God by surprise. No. He knew perfectly well. You know what he says? Be thankful. Why? Because this is the will of God for Christ Jesus in your concerning you. Mm-hmm. But then it goes on to say this, number two, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not some of his benefits. Yeah. Oh, no. He's got a whole lot of benefits, but you know when we're not seeing the benefits of God? When we're too busy looking at the benefits of the world.
Right, right.
When we're too busy looking at the benefits of self. When did we get to a point in time in our life, in our Christianity, where we think we're not going to suffer? It says that if Christ suffered, we're going to suffer. We are going to suffer hard times. We're going to suffer the same way as lost people do. We die in the same way. The only difference between us and the same person is we have the strength to get through it, and we're going to heaven for eternity. But there's nothing in this Bible that says you are not going to suffer. It says after you have suffered a while.
That's right.
We still live on this earth. We still live on an earth that's cursed. Mm-hmm. We're still going to go through these hard times. But you, let me just tell you this. There are benefits that God gives us while we're here. It's not always just about eternity. Wonderful thing. We get to look forward to that. We never can lose that. So therefore, we don't have to ponder on it all the time. Mm-hmm. There's benefits here that we still get. God has given us benefits here. And that's why he says, forget not all thy benefits. Look at verse 3. Here's his benefits. You ready? He's going to name some of them. Who forgiveth some of thine iniquities. No. Oh, who forgiveth your parents' iniquities. Oh, no. Who forgiveth your... No, that it says your iniquities. How many of those iniquities? All of them. Mm-hmm. Not some of them. Why didn't they say sin there? Because he knows if he can stop your iniquities, he can stop the sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he forgives us of the very thoughts. What a benefit from God to know. Think about the things you thought about in your head and your heart. Think about the things that you've done outwardly, and God is willing to forgive those. Mm-hmm. Not just some of them, but all of them. To me, that's a benefit. To me, that's a benefit that this world and all their pills and everything else that they try to, they could not give and forgive those sins. Do you know Jesus Christ has forgiven me, but society has not? They still look at my 17-page rap sheet? But Jesus Christ don't look at that. My name's written in a book. That's what he's looking at. My name's written in a book for eternity. He don't care about that rap sheet. It means nothing to him. Why? He forgave me of all my iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. And instantly people go, well, Dale, you know, I still have sicknesses. Oh, he's not just talking about the outward diseases that we have. He's talking about the hatred, the bitterness, the lies, the deceit, the murders. All those are diseases in the heart. And when he takes care of those diseases in the heart, because I still have all the metal in my back and all the metal in my neck and still got all these medical things that go on with me. But I tell you what, when Jesus Christ stepped in and took care of those inward diseases, that sin nature, that's what he's after, the plague of the heart, as 1 King has to say. When he gets into that sin nature and he gets to that sin nature, guess what? Those issues start going away. The problem is people are trying to come to Jesus Christ with their issue and hold on to that plague. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So don't wonder why people say, well, I got help here and here, but then all of a sudden I just couldn't. Why? Because society came along and put a Band-Aid on. Jesus Christ rips that Band-Aid off and says, let me get to the real problem. Mm-hmm. Let me get in there and start squeezing that thing, getting all that pus and infection and all that filth out of there. Because when Jesus Christ heals something, it's permanent.
That's right.
Right.
Not today, they don't believe that.
Yeah.
But he's not just trying to put a Band-Aid on it and try to, you know, hopefully that the heel will put a little, I don't know. He's going to come out there. You think that's painful? It hurts. Mm-hmm. It hurts to no end. But that's the only way to get it. But what's that do? That means he's going to rip the Band-Aids off our hearts.
Yeah.
He's going to rip those Band-Aids off our hearts, and he's going to heal those diseases. And guess what? On the outside, you'll start feeling better. And I said, do you go, well, do you suffer with pain, Dale? I do. I hurt like crazy. But what a life.
Mm-hmm.
What a life that I'm able today not to have to be on any pain medicines, no psych medicines, I'm not against any of that. I understand. There are people who need that stuff. That's in its proper place. I'm not saying that. Please don't ever get me wrong for saying that I'm against it. I'm not. I'm just telling you what God has done with me.
Amen.
That's a miracle that he pulled me off of that. Why? Because those things, were they a help to me? Not as much as I was addicted to them. That's a reality.
Yeah.
It's just a reality. Because they were helping this and not this.
Uh-huh.
Understand? They were getting it to the point where they were starting to interfere with my thinking. Well, you know, I gotta go visit so-and-so, so maybe I'll take a quarter of a pill, pain pill. A pain pill to help me go visit somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Just goes to show you.
Right.
That stuff works on your mind, too.
Sure.
You know? But here we go. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. My friends, that's both a lifestyle of mine and yours.
Mm-hmm.
You may have not lived a lifestyle like I did, but God redeemed you from that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
He saved you from ever getting into that lifestyle.
That's right.
Did you ever thank God that he took you and he spared you from having to live that lifestyle? That maybe, just maybe, people look at Miss Betsy and go, well, she could have never. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she could. Oh, let me just tell you about Miss Betsy's that are out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to pick on it, but I'm just saying what people see.
Right. Yeah.
But they don't understand the inside of a person. And you know what he did? He had a mercy and a grace, and he redeemed her from that lifestyle. Not out of it, from it. She never had to experience it on the outside. But she's had to experience things on the inside that are just as terrible as that.
Yeah.
And people have a tendency to forget those inside things are just as terrible as the outside things.
Mm-hmm.
They try to put a level on it. God doesn't see that stuff as a level.
No.
The only place it's level is at Calvary.
That's right.
Okay? And we need to understand. And we need to thank God that God has not allowed you to go through that life. And then we need to thank God for myself that he's taken me out of that life. He's redeemed my life from destruction. Look at this reward. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. A person filled with hatred and bitterness and rancidness and every terrible thing that could ever happen. And now what's he give me? Loving kindness.
Mm.
He crowns me with that. He actually set that on my head and says, here you go now, child. Did I deserve that? Oh, what a benefit.
Yeah.
What a benefit that I get to wear that as a crown.
Yeah.
And here's verse 5. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things. Why? Because there's not cursing and bitterness coming out anymore, but the praises of God, singing the songs of Zion, preaching to people. He's put good things in my mouth. Not just food. Obviously, you can tell I eat well. But it's not just talking about that stuff. He's talking about those good things. He replaces the bitterness and the swearings and the curses and the hatreds. He's taken those things and he's replaced them with his word. He's replaced them with the songs of Zion. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have wanted to hear me speak a few years ago. It was terrible. It was disgusting. It was filthy. And look what it says here, the last part of that, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What's that mean? I didn't go back to being a young child again, no. But my mind and my heart saw things differently.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember when you become born again, everything just looks so different.
Mm-hmm.
You see things, you look at, you know, a certain instance, you go, man, Wow, I never saw that like that. Why? Because you're renewed as that youth that he meant for you. You start seeing things differently. You start understanding things differently. You start hearing things differently. Why? Because God renews you into that thing. What a wonderful thing that he would do that for a person. And you know what? This is why we come to the point in our life where we say, Lord, here's where I want your help. Whatever's left of me, I want you to take to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
Look, can you go shut that door for me? Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And so I just wanted to share that with you. Why? Because that soul, this man's joy came from the soul. Why? Because he understood Psalm 103.
Mm-hmm.
It was his soul that was rejoicing on the inside for those things that God has done, those benefits that God offers people. And you know what? People are so busy with the benefits of this world and what can they get from the world? What can they get from this? And what can they get from that? And they forget about the benefits that God gives to a person. And I think it's a robbery to God himself. Why? Because we don't praise him for what he's done. We don't remember. Here's what we praise him for. Lord, thank you for the car. Lord, thank you for that love offering. What about thanking him for what he's brought us from?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What he's took us from. And I thank God that God saved me at the point in time in my life. I could not imagine being out there today with the drugs that are out there today.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine. You know what my addicted personality? I'd be dead already.
Yeah.
There's no question. Hands down, I'd be dead. And he spared me from that. Was it bad for me? Sure it was. But not as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
I look at the people I'm with now, Arlen, and man, they are 10 times worse than I've ever been. Ever. Ever. I'm talking addictions, killings, murder. I'm talking the stuff they get themselves into. It's unbelievable. I look at it and I go, whoa. Totally different. Why? God spared me from that. What a wonderful God. Well, look, let me show you something else about. Remember, we're going to glorify God today. Go to Romans chapter 5. And we're already starting to glorify Jesus in the songs. And then we see Psalm 103 here, and we're glorifying Jesus Christ. We glorified him this morning at Sunday school, man, about his goodness to us and what's between us. You know, God in his mercy gives us a book that shows us what's in between us. Because he wants us to know what is in between me and him. What is stopping him from hearing my prayers? What is stopping him from not working in my life or whatever it is? And God in his mercy said, here, I will give you an instruction manual. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? He gave us an instruction manual to see what is going on in our lives. And so we thank God for his goodness and his mercy that even considered doing that for people like us. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. And I want you to hear here that he's going to be talking in the past tense, okay? Hear that he's going to be talking in the past tense. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, look, it says, for when we were yet without strength. Okay? And so what I want you to get right off the bat is, this is, am I in the right place?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there last week.
Okay, good. But look at it. This is past tense.
Yeah.
He's talking before we were saved. This is what happened.
Yep.
He's not talking, this is not what happens to us. This is not going on before we are saved or after we are saved. This is something that happened before we are saved. He said, look at it says, for when you were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
He died for those who are out there today. Those who are out there living with needles in their arms. Those who are out there with drugs in their arms. Those who are sitting in church houses who are lost.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of religious people who come to church faithfully, read their Bible faithfully, tied faithfully, and are lost.
Right.
Yeah.
They're ungodly in God's eyes. They have no understanding of what God is holding them accountable for. They just think by their good works. I'm a tax-paying citizen. I don't break the laws. I don't drink. I don't gamble. I go to church. That is their religiousness. That is what they think is salvation, and it's not.
That's right.
It's gonna condemn them. Going to bust them wide open. God died for those as well. Because there are lost church people. That's a reality. There are people who have been going to church their whole life that are lost. I know a pastor who was a pastor for 40 years. And I think it was the last year and a half, ended up getting saved. Behind a pulpit preaching for 40 years. Lost. And God in his mercy stepped in and showed that man.
Yep.
But that man had to be willing to see what he was.
That's right.
People today are too afraid to examine themselves.
Yep.
They're afraid to think that I can be, is it possible that I could be lost? The Bible says examine yourself to see whether you'd be in the faith. Don't be afraid to do it. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to find Jesus there?
<That's> the...
Or you might find out that you're not saved. And you'll find Jesus waiting there anyway.
Yes.
But people today are too afraid to look at that. Thank God that I got rid of my religiousness 12 years ago. I got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank God that I gave all that nonsense up and I just started looking for Jesus Christ and there he was.
Yeah.
People today, they don't understand that. Look at verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Here it is in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. To commend is to present worthy or favorable acceptance, to regard or to recommend, to consider, to direct their attention to as worthy of notice or regard. as we're out there as lost people, God commended his love toward us. While we're out there living against everything that we can do against God, while we're sitting in church pews doing all this religious stuff against God, he still commended, he recommended his love toward us. That means it went forward to us. He didn't take his love from us. He was giving it to us. He says, I recommend that they have my love. While we're yet still sinners. While we're out there doing those things, whether you're living it outwardly or living it inwardly, God still had a love for us second to none.
That's right.
Most of you probably didn't have some of the things that I did, you know, reading the Satanic Bible and trying to do those sacrifices. And you know, let me just tell you about the power that's in that stuff. Let me tell you about the power when you're sitting there and you're doing things to yourself, listening to the music. And the power that comes inside of you, and you feel it. You feel it. It's a real thing. I know people try to shun that away and say, no, that can't be real. Oh, it's real. Mm-hmm. This is what keeps these people deceived, because there's a reality to what they're feeling. You don't believe me? Listen to Brother Ron's testimony. Mm-hmm. Old man out, new man in. And he felt that come out through his whole body. That was the devil, my friend. Don't tell me there is no power in that. I'm telling you right now there's power in that. And it makes people continue to want to serve that because they don't believe in another power. They have the power they want.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember sitting there chanting things over and over again. And just in my body lifting up and just shaking with that stuff going inside of me.
Wow.
And his love was still directed towards me.
Amen.
The one who used to write songs about chopping up Jesus Christ's mother on a sacrifice table. Get every kind of tattoo you could, every kind of wickedness you could against the holy God. Preaching against God, hating God. And yet, he thought me worthy of his love.
Amen.
My goodness. My goodness, if that don't give you something to praise God for, there's something wrong with you. Or maybe you just don't have it. It's okay to look at that. I promise you, you're in a church where it's okay for you to look at that.
That's right.
The pastor's not going to put you down. The people aren't going to think anything different of you. They want you to do that, as a matter of fact. They want you to examine to see if you have the real thing or not. That's where they want you to be.
Amen.
Why? Because we want you in eternity, not in hell, but in heaven.
That's right.
But God commended, he extended his love toward us. That means in the direction of to the lost and condemned and ungodly sinners. Romans 5:10 says this, for if, when we were enemies, that means we weren't saved, we're not born again, we're reconciled. What? Before we were saved, God had already reconciled us unto himself.
Yeah.
The promise is we had to come to him. He's already taken care of everything. It's all done and over with. The reconciliation has been made on God's part. The problem is us.
Yeah.
We were reconciled to God before we got saved. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You understand? It has nothing to do with what we've done or do.
Mm-mm.
It has everything to do with what he has done. That's where the reconciliation comes from. That's where the him commending his love towards us was him sending his son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's that love being recommended to us. There's that love being brought down to us in his son, Jesus Christ. Where did he come? Away from us? No, he came towards us.
That's right.
Remember, I said it in Sunday school that God's arm is outstretched. How much more outstretched can he get to send his own son, Jesus Christ, to die and his soul burn in hell? How much more?
But God committed his love towards us that while we were yet still sinners, he died for us.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about the recommendation that of God's love. He recommended, he considered, he directed his love towards us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2,
And we're going to start in verse 1. We'll read verse 1 and 2, and it says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you, what? Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Anything else is worthless talking about. I hear people try to get behind the pulpit all the time, Pastor, and they come with the wisdom of a man, and they come with their Bible wisdom from Bible college, and blah, 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 and they got no power with God whatsoever. They can't get into this Bible and have God give them a message. Why? Because they're worried about preaching man's wisdom and not God's. You know, Brother Greg, for the last 40 years, commentaries, lexicons, dictionaries, and everything else, that's what people were used to hearing. They no longer hear the word of God anymore because they're so used to hearing what man has to say. They're used to hearing what man's opinion is. And I'll tell you right now, they will fight with you over it.
Yep.
I'll sit down and have a conversation with somebody, just a Bible conversation. No challenging going on. And I'll just say, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, the Bible says this in this verse. And they'll go, well, you know, so-and-so wrote a book and it says this. I don't give a rip what your book said. You go ahead and burn that thing. Put it in the garbage, and I'll tell them that. That book don't mean nothing to me. It's nonsense and garbage. It's man's opinion.
Right.
You want a book that's going to tell you the truth about everything, including where you're going to end up?
Right.
You know why we know this book isn't written by man? Because it tells us exactly how bad we really are.
Uh-huh.
Anything man writes wants to tell them how good they are.
That's right.
Self-help books. Why? Because you're so good. This is not a self-help book, my friends. It's a God help me book.
Yeah.
Okay? That's a reality. We need help. But hey, we go along. We think we're just the best people. We're holier than thou. We're saints. And why did Jesus Christ have to die if we're that good?
That's right.
Why did his soul have to go into hell for 3 days? Or yeah, 3 hours if we're so good? Why did he have to go on a cruel cross? Why did he have to be beaten, his insides be torn out of him if we're such good people? It's not. It's a lie.
Yeah. It's a lie.
There's none that's good. No, not one. That is what the Bible says, but people do not like to hear that. So therefore, they'll run to other religions, other things, and that's what they're going to get into. Why? Because it tells them they're okay. My Bible never tells any human being they're okay. I don't care who they are what kind of good works they've done. They're born with a sin nature. Because Adam fell and sinned. We all have a sin nature. We're all born that way.
Yep.
Otherwise, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. Verily, you could have just done everything on your own and been okay and went to heaven. What a cruel thing that would be, Brother Greg, for Jesus Christ had to die if we could earn our own way there by being good.
That's right.
What sense does that make? And I'm talking all kinds of Christians believe that. Well, I don't come preaching what man has to teach me.
Praise God.
I come preaching what God has given me. Okay? Now, I'm not against books and commentaries. Let's go. I'm not against it. Everybody knows me by now. You know my little speech. But for sure, I don't put them above my Bible.
That's right.
If a man has something to tell me and it disagrees with my Bible, he's wrong. My Bible's not.
Uh-huh.
You see, they think I'm telling them wrong. You know what they think I'm telling? They think I'm coming in with a strange doctrine. I go, I'm not coming in with a strange doctrine. I'm coming in with the Bible. You're not used to hearing it. All I'm doing is preaching the Bible. There's nothing else that I'm preaching, just the Bible. But you think it's strange because you have not heard it in so long, because all you hear is man's opinions and these books and so on and so forth. That's all you know now. And so what's become foreign to people is hearing the Word of God. And they think, well, how can you bring that strange doctrine? I go, then show me where it's so strange. Show me where I'm out of context in it. Show me the verse in the chapter where I'm preaching something wrong. If you ever had that, please don't be afraid to approach me with that and tell me. I can take it. I can take it. But you won't find that with me because I don't get my messages from other people.
Right.
I get it from God. If I can't get it from God, it's worthless.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I can quote somebody else, you know. Pastor might say something I like. I'll go say, hey, you know, Pastor Cassio said such and such. I'm not preaching his message. I'm just making a quote.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I got on that, but look. Look at Luke. Turn over to Luke chapter Luke chapter 23, look at this. God commending his love towards us. I mean, while we're still sinners, while we're his enemies, God came and died for us. While we're out there doing those things that we did, or, you know, and again, let me just clarify. It doesn't, people, again, will look at things because of what they do outwardly, as that's what God has, you know, against them. And it's not. It's the inward things.
Yeah.
Christ makes that clear in Matthew chapter 15. He says, and these things are what's proceed from the heart. Murders, adulteries, fornications, blasphemies, from the heart. He didn't say they were physically out there doing them. He says these are in the heart. Okay, why is it in the heart? Because of that sin nature. This is what makes us guilty. Matter of fact, most people don't even understand. God came down and he said, people who are lawbreakers against God. Again, now here's what a person does. Well, I don't break the laws. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't gamble. I don't swear. I go to church. Those are what they're worried about. They're concerned about the physical. They're concerned about man's laws, in which they're good citizens and thank God for it. But that's not what God has against them. It's being a lawbreaker against him. One little white lie would put somebody in hell for eternity. If you're at the age of accountability and you have a lie that's unforgiven and you don't turn to Christ for it, you'll pay in hell for eternity.
Yeah.
But people don't understand the condemnation that they're under.
Right.
If people really understood where they stood in God's eyes, they would live a little differently. But they don't understand that condemnation. Let me give you a quick example. I may have said it here before. When in person, you know, I have a jail and prison ministry. And so I work with a lot of men and women who are in jail and prisons across the United States. Let me just tell you something. When they're on death row or they have a life sentence and they're never coming home, let me tell you how much they fight for their life. If a person really understood their condemnation of their soul, why aren't they fighting for it, Brother Arlen? Why aren't they fighting for that like people fight for their life? Because they don't understand that condemnation.
Yeah.
They don't understand what they really are in God's eyes. Now, God alleviated that by what? Sending Jesus Christ down here. I had a man ask me this. Well, if God loves you so much, then why does he throw people in hell? I said, my friend, he didn't. His choice was to go to the cross. They choose to go to hell by rejecting Jesus
Christ.
Right.
That's right.
God made a way for them not to have to go there. They don't like that way, though, because they can earn their own way there because they're good citizens. Being a good church-going citizen doesn't mean you got a one-way ticket to heaven, my friend.
That's right.
Okay? Because you're not taking that sin nature to heaven with you. Well, that's just the reality. And let me just tell you something. Whether you live the lifestyle that I did out there being satanic and crazy and alcoholic, or whether you grew up in church your whole life, you're still ungodly and an enemy of God.
Yeah.
Until you get that right with Jesus Christ, that's what you'll be. You know what the sad part about Betsy is? In Revelation, gosh, I think it's 19 or 20, the capital L-A-M-B is standing outside of hell. And all those lost people for eternity will watch the Lamb and can't get to them. That's part of their hell. Part of their hell is having to look out there and see the very one who could have saved them, but they rejected it. And now for eternity, they've got to stand there and watch the Lamb of God outside of hell as they burn, wishing they could get to him. Well, that's a reality of it, man. Would to God people understood their condemnation. People say, well, God is love. He sure is. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful God of love. But let me tell you something. He's also righteous. He's holy. And he's got judgments to cast on those who reject his way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. The way, singular. Mm-hmm. Not ways. There aren't many ways to God. There's one God and one way. And that's through Jesus Christ.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
There is no other way. But he commended his love to us. That while we're still yet sinners, whether good lifestyle or bad lifestyle, whether a good citizen or a bad citizen, he commended his love towards us, and even though while we're here as enemies, right? Luke 23. Look at what it says here in 32. Luke 23:32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. That means there was two others hanging on the cross, one on each side. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, or Golgotha, the place of the skull,
There they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. In verse 34, then Jesus said, and here's Jesus in the midst of his enemies.
Yep.
In the midst of his enemies from eternity past to eternity in the future, and those who hated him, look at what Jesus Christ says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yep. Here's Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. His enemies have put him on the cross. We have put him on that cross.
That's
uh-huh.
right.
Uh-huh.
By our iniquities and our sins.
Yep.
Instead of calling down a legion of angels to get him off of that cross, he says, Father, forgive them. Mm. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Oh,
what a merciful God. Yes. What a mighty God to stand there, hang on that cross, and know that he's going to face time in hell for us. And he asked God the Father to forgive them anyway. Us, his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people take sin and iniquity and those things of God and take them so lightly. Brother, if God took them so lightly, why did he hang on the cross?
That's right.
Why did he spend 3 hours in hell if it was so light? If it was just such an easy thing, why did he have to go through that? Why did his son? Oh, it gets better because in Isaiah chapter 53, it said that the father had pleasure in watching his son go through that travail. Why? Because he doesn't have to watch you go through it for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He knew the outcome. He knew that Jesus Christ was going to come out of that. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. Jesus
yeah.
Christ had faith in the Father that he wouldn't leave his soul there. So what happens? And after 3 hours of taking our sin, he's gone there because of us. He's in those flames because, and he's travailing. He's feeling everything we've ever thought. He's feeling everything we've ever done. He's travailing over that. It's not the flames that's bothering him, my friend. It's not where he's at that's bothering him. It's all that we are on him that's bothering him. And he sees it, and he feels every second of it. Every second of every thought that we've ever done, Christ is feeling that in hell. He's travailing it. And the Father looks over and says, I have pleasure in that. My God, what a merciful God. He says, Father, forgive them for they know what they do. And they parted his remnant and cast lots. Lots. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to wrap this up here pretty quickly. Hebrews chapter 12. You think about these things and think about that while we're his enemies, whether we're good citizens, taxpaying, law-abiding citizens, or whether you're out there being a lawbreaker or a drug addict or whatever it is, that we're his enemies in those things. We're enemies against him. And yet he made a way for us not to be his enemies. He reconciled us. He recommended his love to us while we are that in our lives, in our hearts. While those iniquities are in our hearts, God says, look. And then he's hanging on that cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 12, look what it says here in verse 2. Looking unto yourself.
No.
Oh, let me get that right. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author. You know what the author is? The cause of something.
Yeah.
It's the cause or the beginning of something. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author, the cause or the source of, and the finisher. That means one who finishes. So we know that Jesus Christ is the cause of something, and he's the finisher of something. What is he? He's the cause and he's the finisher of our faith. That is the saving faith that Jesus Christ gives to repentant sinners.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
It is his faith that he gives us. If we're saved by our faith, then it would just be done and over with.
Right.
Do we have to have faith? No doubt we have to have faith. But saving faith didn't come until after the death of Jesus Christ. I can prove that.
That's right.
And he gives saving faith to those who repent. Not in religion. Repents from what they are when they see who they are in God's eyes.
Amen.
So we see that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of faith. And it goes on, and look what it says here. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That joy of him going to that cross. Why? Because he's seen every one of our faces. He's seen every one of us, who we are. He's seen those in eternity's past. He's seen those that are living now. And he's seen those that will be born. He's seen them all. And it was a joy to him to endure what he did. Why? For our sake. For his mercy.
Yep. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You ready for this? While we're his enemies. While we spit in his face. Well, how do we spit in his face? You know, little religious works. How do we spit in his face? By out there living that life you live and claiming to be a Christian. And then what do? We beat him with a cat of nine tails. We rip his back out. We rip the skin off of his back. How? By the life that we live, those iniquities and sins within us. It says by his stripes we're healed. And that doesn't mean by we're healed physically. That means he's healing us spiritually. And he's taking those cat of nine tails and it's ripping his intestines out of his back. Why? Because of our sins and our iniquities. And that was a joy for him. How many of us would say that's a joy so far?
And then they put a robe on him and mocked him. That's people sitting in church pews who are lost.
Yeah.
Playing their little religious game. They're mocking everything Jesus Christ is and does. Mm. You see, my friends, we may have not been physically standing there, but spiritually we put Christ on that cross.
Right.
In our sin nature, we hung him on that cross. And not only did we hang him on that cross, and he died, and his spirit went to the Father, and his body went to the grave, but then his soul went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
For our sake.
Yeah.
For our mercy. He wasn't doing it for himself. He didn't need to. He's perfect and sinless.
That's right.
He's doing it for his enemies. Doesn't he say we should love our enemies like he did?
Mm-hmm.
How about it? How much of us are willing to do that, Almighty Christian? I know it's hard for me. I struggle terribly with that. Terribly. But that's not an excuse.
No, it's not.
I'm almost done. You don't have to turn there. Let me just finish these verses. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says, "In this was manifest," that means he was made known, "the love of God," here it is again, "toward us."
Mm-hmm.
That means he went toward us. "Because that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might." That's not definite. Might. That we might. What? Some might get saved, some might not. God knows that, but when he did in heaven, he still died for them. People who have gone on and who were not saved, they went on and they're facing their judgment in hell. He still died for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Jesus Christ did not die for them, but because of their rejection, that's their punishment. But he still died for them.
That's right.
And it says that we might, that they might live through him. Here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ is that place that we bring our sins to.
Mm.
You know, on that altar back in the Old Testament, that's where they brought their sacrifice.
Yes.
To that altar. That's what Jesus Christ is to us today. That place we bring our sins to when we leave it there. And look, our sins aren't covered, my friend.
Yeah.
They're forgiven. They're washed. It's over with.
Right.
Two more verses. And Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." What's he think towards us? Ready? Thoughts of peace. I'm his enemy, and he has thoughts of peace for me. I've been his enemy for 40 years and living out there, and Jesus Christ, I have thoughts of peace for you, Dale. If you just look, I have a different mind for you. Why? Because he said, "I have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end." I know where I'm going now. And God did that before I got saved.
That's right.
God did that while I was out there barely singing those songs against God. Putting these tattoos on me of all death and destruction. God loved me when I was putting those tattoos on me. He watched me as I put them on my body in absolute hatred and rebellion against him. And yet he still wanted to give me peace and an expected end.
Amen.
Look at it says. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. When's God going to hearken unto us? Look what it says. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with some of your heart.
No.
When you shall search me with all of your heart. You go, Lord, I've been searching you with all my heart. And warned you where you need to be with God.
Right.
Either God's a liar or you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's us. God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. God has no reason to lie. Why would he lie? What's it going to benefit God to lie? Let me just tell you this right now. If you were standing on the edge of hell today, and God had to tell one lie to save you from hell, you're going to drop off into hell in eternity because God will not lie.
That's right.
He will not lie. He will not compromise his righteousness. He will not compromise his holiness. He will not compromise what he's already taken care of. It's on us now.
Yeah.
It's all over with. There's nothing else that God has to do, but he does. He does, Greg. He still seeks us. He still searches our hearts. He still gives us the word of God. He still sends preachers. He still sends devotionals and little messages to us. He still hears our prayers. Why? Because he's still working that life. Look at, he gave up everything so that we can have everything. Why would he just let you slip away? God's just not going to let you slip away. It cost him everything for your soul. The problem is people don't recognize how much it costs God. You know what they're looking at? How much is it going to cost me to be a Christian? It cost Jesus Christ everything to save you.
Mm-hmm.
What's it going to cost me to be a Christian? If it cost you everything and you were saved, then that, you know what? He owes you nothing.
No.
Nothing. As we seek him with our whole heart, it says the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. What happens when two people seek each other? They eventually come together. Jesus died for his enemies. And I'm closing with this. Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11 said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. What? You mean, you see, Jesus Christ, it was a joy to him to go to the cross, but it pleased God to bruise him for himself. Oh, he must have done wrong things. You see, that's how a lot of Christians think, is that Jesus Christ, he did all this because that's what he had to do. They don't realize Jesus Christ did all this because of what they've done. He's being bruised because of what we are. It's not necessarily the things we've done. It's who we are. It's that sin nature.
That's right. That's it.
There's a difference in the word S-I-N-S and S-I-N.
That's right.
90% of the time when you see the word S-I-N in your Bible, the King James Bible, and it's talking about your sin nature. Read it in context. Okay? S-I-N-S are the things we do because of the sin nature.
That's it.
I don't have to ask you guys this, but you know this. If you have children, do you have to teach them how to do the right thing or the wrong thing? You have to teach them how to do the right thing because naturally they're born knowing how to do wrong. Why? That's the sin nature. That's the sin nature we all have, Josh. These little innocent kids that are sitting in here today all have a sin nature. And when they become to the age of accountability and everybody's different, now they're accountable to God. They have a price to pay. Why? Because they have a sin nature.
That's right.
They have a sin nature. My kids, just because they grew up in church, they don't get a one-way ticket to heaven.
That's right.
They need Jesus Christ just as much as anybody else does.
That's right.
But people don't see that, sister. They just don't get it. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. You understand God has done this to Jesus Christ for you? Everything that you read about what happens to Jesus Christ, you would have to pay. You will pay. Do you know today there are people who are in hell that are paying a price that's already been paid?
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't have to pay that price. It's already been done. Jesus Christ has already felt the grief. He's already taken the bruise for us. And it goes on and it says, he had put him to grief, and when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. What? His soul is going to be made an offering for sin. He has to fulfill all the laws. When you go back to Leviticus, there's a burnt offering for sin. Well, if Jesus Christ's soul didn't go to hell, then that wasn't fulfilled. Then we're all going to hell. He didn't say, I didn't come to destroy the laws and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He had to fulfill every prophecy and every law that was written about him.
Yep.
If he did not, then there's still something left undone and we're all going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he make his soul an offering for sin? if he didn't have to pay it.
That's good.
He shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. And that is a prophecy fulfilled in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10. It says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy holy one to see corruption." And what's it say? "And thou shalt be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Jesus died for his enemies. We are his enemies, but Jesus Christ died for his enemies. My friends, I want you to take a long look, because I said today we want to glorify Jesus.
Yeah.
There's no better way of glorifying Jesus Christ than letting people know what he's done for us as his enemies and beyond. Okay? So if you're lost in here today, come to the realization that you're God's enemy until the blood of Christ has covered you. It's not by our works. It's not by works of righteousness, Paul says. Okay? It's by coming to that knowledge of what we are in God's eyes, our guilt, our condemnation under God. When we come under that condemnation of God, we see ourselves the way God sees us. It's over with. He takes care of it all. It's like a switch flips. It's all different. Okay? It's all different. I watched two people, Arlen, and I'm done. I watched two people get saved in front of me. I mean, standing in front of me. Tim Asquith. I said one thing to him, and he turned to me and went, "I just got saved." I mean, his expression. It was just like, poof. It was like a light. I was just like, I said, "My goodness, you just got saved, didn't you?" And it's changed his life.
Wow.
Okay? It's like a switch that was flipped. Yes. Another one was Ronnie Scolton.
Yeah.
He didn't come out in a minute, but after the service, I came over to him. I go, "Your countenance is different."
Uh-huh.
He didn't say that. Two days later, he came back and goes, "You know, I got saved during that preaching." But I knew it. Just see the difference in him.
Yep.
That doesn't mean everything went away, but you can tell the difference here.
Yeah.
You can tell that there's something that's happened to them. And that's all God is looking for, my friend. He's done that for us. Pastor, I'm done.
Praise the Lord.